You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Sacramento Kings are back on the road. Game one of a four-game trip tonight in Portland as the Kings and the Trailblazers meet for the third time this season. Hard to believe we are already 20 games in out of 82 of the NBA regular season. And of course, we've been covering it all right here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season, all offseason from January through December. We have Kings basketball talk and coverage here, which includes in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of your Sacramento Kings right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I am a Sacramento sports radio host, and I've been covering the Kings for the last 5 years, but I've been a diehard Kings fan since the age six. I'm just like you. Just like you, I fell in love with this team, grew up in the glory years, and now I, like you, want nothing more than to see this Kings team work their way back into the postseason, something that they haven't done for over 13 years. I am joined today by the former host of this very podcast. He's also a Sports 1140 KHTK host and the color commentator for Sacramento Kings radio broadcasts. The one and only Jason Ross joins me as we are going to do a State of the Sacramento Kings adjusted expectations type show here that will dominate the podcast. I hope you will enjoy our conversation, and if you want to react to anything that we are talking about, please feel free to do so on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHTK. HDK is how you can reach me. You can DM me or just tweet directly to me there. Or you can reach me via email, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. And if you're listening on the go and can't visit Audible right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcasts.com/offers. Now, my conversation with Jason Ross. Happy to be joined right now by the former host of this Locked On Kings podcast, good friend of mine from Sports 1140 KHDK, of course, works with Sacramento Kings Radio as well, alongside the G-Man at every single Kings game. It is Jason Ross joining me. Jason, great to have you back here on Locked On Kings. I know it's always fun for you to come back here. Had you on a couple of months ago. Since then, some things have changed with the Kings, both our expectations and the situations that they've been dealing with, but it's great to have you on.
Thank you, Matt. Yeah, it's been a wild journey, to say the least, for the first, almost quarter of the season, but the Kings, I think, still find themselves in a pretty good position right now.
And that's one of the things I really wanted to touch on and go in depth with today with you, is that expectations have changed. So we're going to kind of do a state of the Sacramento Kings through 19 games, 20 games if you count tonight's game in Portland. But based off of everything the Kings have faced, especially the Kings or the injury issues throughout these first month and a half of the season, the Kings are actually in a pretty good position, a position that I did not expect them to be in, especially when the news about De'Aaron Fox, grade 3 ankle sprain dropped.
I'm with you. I mean, if we can't go back in time, but if we did and said, hey, through 19 games, they'll be 8-11, you have to see how that goes. Like, how did you get to 8-11? 0-5, then 8-11 sounds pretty good. 0-5, 8-11 with losing Bagley sounds pretty good. 0-5 with 8-11 now with losing Fox and Bagley. So I think all of that changes the perspective. And then the other reality that's happened is the West hasn't been as good. The top's really good, but 7, 8, 9, 10, that window is open. And I think no matter how the Kings are through when Fox comes back, I still think they're going to be in play for that. And hopefully that's when they'll peak and really start to make a run. But the West has left the door open. The Kings have played good enough to stay in there. And they're the only team that I can think of, unless you can think of one, Matt, that has two starters still to come back. So, I mean, they, to me, are in one of the better positions because you know you have two of your best players still coming back.
And I'll be honest with you, Jason, when the De'Aaron Fox news came out that day, I titled my podcast, No Fox, No Playoffs, or Goodbye Fox, Goodbye Playoffs type thing. That was the an idea that I think many shared, this concept of, well, without the leadership of De'Aaron Fox, and we've all said Fox is going to take this team as far as they're going to go, the hopes for those playoffs are pretty few and far between. That was my initial gut reaction. Then the next day on the podcast, I looked at the schedule and I said, okay, let's find a way for the Kings to just tread water. At worst, stay where they're at, but try and be as close to, if not at, 500 through this stretch of games till at least Marvin Bagley comes back. Then let's see where they can get when De'Aaron Fox comes back. The reality is this team has a winning record since that horrific start. They're still trying to overcome that and have done a good job as of lately getting through that. But only three games under 500, Bagley's return hopefully right around the corner, Fox probably not until 2020, early 2020, but we'll have to wait and see on that. It's been a win, I would say, for this Kings squad.
100%, and I would agree with you in one sense. I don't know that I made the overall sweeping blanket statement that they can't make the playoffs without him, but I felt it. I just thought that he's too important to what they do. Now, once they started playing without him, I watched and I got reminded that, you know, a veteran like Corey Joseph is not better than De'Aaron Fox, but he knows how to win an NBA game. He knows how to win a lot of NBA games. He's been in those battles. He's been in the playoffs every year of his career. And even Dedmon and Ariza, even if their stats aren't amazing, there's enough veterans that just know how to get through this. And I think Bogey is a veteran. He's played so much basketball overseas and here. I think they put so much more on a lot of the veterans on this team, even if they're younger, to know how to win games and to get through troubles like this. So that's been eye-opening. I think that's ultimately going to be better for the team long-term. They've also found their defensive kind of position in this league. So it's not what you want, but maybe the silver lining is they found other ways to win. And ideally, when Fox and Bagley are back, you find the best version of this team.
When the Kings got off to their 0-5 start, you immediately heard whispers and mumbles of, first off, everybody was throwing blame any which way. Someone's going to Walton, someone's going to Fox, Bagley, whoever was available to take blame. Blame was being thrown out during that tough start. But you started hearing whispers of, was last season's Kings team a fluke? The fact that they won 39 games, they still didn't make the playoffs, but did they just catch the league by surprise with how they were playing, and then once they got figured out, they're once again a bad basketball team with no real direction? I think it's safe to say, though, that the 0-5 start is the fluke at this point, and I'm basing that not just off of the 39-win team last season, but I'm also basing that off the fact that four out of those five teams the Kings have replayed, rematched against, and beaten. The Kings are 4-0 against those five, or against four of those five teams so far. A chance to make it 5-0 against the teams that went, or that gave the Kings an 0-5 start here when they play the Hornets later on this month. You feeling the same way with me in that situation, that if there's a fluke, it's more that slow start and how this team stumbled out of the blocks rather than the success that they had last year and the expectations that we had for this one?
Yeah, and I think the other part that, hey, we all get caught up in the results. What do they do, win or lose? Well, they lost the first five. I think what we also need to remember, because I think some people are like, man, what a turnaround from the 0-5. The 0-5 was the result. Remember, what was it, four of the five they led at halftime? So we all look at the result, and there was an awful second half against Phoenix, a completely terrible game against Utah. We thought a bad loss to Charlotte, but they were ahead in that game. So, and they were beating Portland. Damian Lillard hit some of the game's biggest shots. Yes, they were 0-5, and they weren't playing their best basketball, but there were moments in there. There were more moments in there where there was actually pretty good basketball, winning basketball. So when they were 0-5, it didn't feel good. Blame was going everywhere, you're right. But I think there were still signs in that they could turn it around. And to their credit, they did, and there were times where I don't know that they're going to beat Utah to turn it around. I may have to start later. Well, they did beat Utah. A great home win against Boston. Now, there's a clunker in there, a loss to the Bulls the other night. Probably didn't need to happen, but did. And they're probably closer right now to that 500 team, and I think that's kind of where the neighborhood they're in, and hopefully they can get to that number and keep climbing.
I pointed this out to you, and we discussed this yesterday, obviously, off the air. And I wanted to bring it up again on the air and get your thoughts and your feedback on it. I thought it was interesting that during this 0-5 start, Luke Walton was consistently saying the same things in his postgame pressers. We're working hard. We're doing what we need to do in practice, especially on the defensive end. It's just not translating yet. Well, now, especially during the month of November, we saw it start to translate, and we saw the Kings start to win games because of it. Now we're starting to hear consistently from Luke Walton, okay, we're getting there. We know we can do it. Now it's about doing it and putting together a full 48-minute performance that I'd argue the Kings have not done once so far this season, despite winning 8 games and some pretty impressive victories like the Boston victory amongst those and the Denver Nuggets victory as well. At what point do you expect the Kings to get to that full 48-minute performance? And is a full 48-minute performance even possible in the NBA? Or are you trying to put together the best 42 or maybe 45 or even 46?
Yeah, I think that even if we all have the feeling after a game where we said, man, that was the best they played, there's something they can fix. So I think it's impossible to have a great 48. But I think if you can have more of the minutes be good minutes, more of the players on your roster playing well, where the game ends and you and I talk afterwards and go, Belly was good, Giles was good, Joseph was good, Fox was good. All right, you're running down the list of pretty good players, because you know you've had it too where maybe the list is pretty long. Oh, imagine if Buddy shot well. Well, it's hard to have everybody play great on a night. So I think if you have more guys play well on a night, more good minutes than bad minutes, that's when you're starting to become not just a good team, a great team. And they're not there yet by far, but I think they're getting closer to that. There's, you know, in the first 0-5 start, the theme was the third quarter. Well, that's a 12-minute chunk. That's awful. What if that stretch is 4 minutes of the third quarter? That's not good. All right, well, now you've made some progress. And it's even what I think we discussed the other day off the air, too, against Chicago. Every team makes a run. I don't think there was any problem with Chicago coming back from 11 down. Why are you down 19? Why was that swing 30 points? That's, to me, is too much. If the Bulls take the lead on you, you're trailing by 6, I think the Kings come back and maybe win that game by double digits. They had to chase 19 down. That's tough to do. They nearly did. But I think the more good minutes they can produce, the more good players on the roster that we feel have a good game after, that'll be the best result.
It started with the contract talks that took us all the way up to the beginning of the regular season, but Buddy Hield has now got a massive spotlight on him from all angles. He's done a good job, in my opinion, stepping up and kind of becoming a vocal leader of this team. Very is not afraid to face the music and speaks pretty much after every single game, home or away, to the media, and has echoed some of the thoughts of his coaching staff. One of the things I loved from him is during the 0-5 start, how he put the onus on himself and his teammates, not the coaching staff. He said, "Walton and the coaches are putting us in the right place to win. Our game plan is solid. We're just not executing right now." That showed growth and signs of leadership from Buddy Hield, which is what I expect out of an almost $100 million player. But Buddy Hield is also now, with Fox and Bagley out, Buddy Hield is facing the best of the best defenses have to throw at him on a nightly basis. He's not catching anybody by surprise anymore. They know if he catches the ball on the perimeter and he has a good look, it's going up, and there's a good chance that he's going to make it. I looked at some of the numbers, and I shared some of the numbers on yesterday's podcast. Buddy Hield is shooting around 33% from three-point range in the 10 games that he's played without De'Aaron Fox. We knew Fox was important to this team, but I think we've clearly seen that Buddy Hield, as great of an individual talent as he is and as great of a shooter as that he is, he complements De'Aaron Fox's game, and De'Aaron Fox complements him, to where these past two phenomenal shooting seasons that Hield has probably don't happen if De'Aaron Fox is not playing with him consistently.
I agree 100%. I think he's the one that probably misses him the most for multiple reasons. The first one being the one you brought up first, which is they're playing Portland tonight. Number one scouting report is to slow down Buddy Hield. If you keep him to 13, 12 points, you got a good chance to win. Buddy goes off, that's going to be a different game. So he's the number one scouting report. Number two, De'Aaron, I don't think that many times we ever accuse him of over-dribbling. He's kind of decisive in his moves. Joseph over-dribbles a little bit. Bogey over dribbles a little bit.
Buddy over dribbles too.
True, but like, so now he's coming off screens and movement, and Buddy's kind of in a quick reactionary mode where those other guys are a little bit more deliberate, and I don't think it fits him as well. He still finds his way. Fox and Bagley also get to the line a lot. Buddy doesn't, but all right, now Buddy's touched. Well, they're in the penalty. Buddy gets 2 free points there. So I think there's a few things that he misses from both Fox and Bagley, more Fox, and being the number one element on the other end, as far as the way defenses approach him. But what I will compliment Buddy on, it's also a frustration at the same time, the game against Denver where he just could not make anything, and he continues to shoot, and boy, he saved the day. And it's just like, man, he's got the courage to do it. The Bulls game, they're down 2. He's got the transition 3. He's got the courage to take it. He needs to make it. He didn't make that one. The Boston game in Boston, nearly won the game by himself. I don't even think the Kings played that well in Boston. He shot out of this world, and he had other guys that shot well. So he has that ability to almost win a game by himself. He also has an ability to hurt this team. But I think when Fox comes back, he'll really benefit.
Yeah, statistically, it's been a down year for Buddy. He's taken a step backwards. And that's weird to say after the two phenomenal games he had against Boston, including a historic NBA three-point shooting performance. But it has been a step back for him. But I've still seen more growth than regression in him, mostly as a leader and as now a veteran. I mean, you think about his age now on his second contract, he's more of a veteran status than you would typically give a player in the first year of their second contract. But it hasn't just been him. This Kings team has been led by a handful of unlikely heroes. Simple question, where would the Kings be today after the 0-5 start without Rashawn Holmes and Nemanja Bjelica?
In a world of hurt. I mean, I just don't know. And I'll credit the coaching staff for doing that. A lot of times you sign one of the highest profile free agents was Dwayne Dedmon. And I still can't figure out if Bagley stays healthy, if maybe Bagley and Dedmon work. I don't know. We saw it for one game in Phoenix. For a half, it was fine. Second half was awful. That's too much to judge. I thought the Kings actually looked really good in the preseason. Well, that's a long time ago. So I think it was designed to go Fox, Bagley, Dedmon, you know, with Buddy and Harrison Barnes. That makes a lot of sense to me. Well, Marvin goes out, you put Belly in, it just was a different wrinkle, and then it was the right decision to put Holmes in. I mean, just the results they've gotten. I think Holmes fits really well with De'Aaron Fox, too, by the way. And then now when Bagley comes back, what is the decision? How do you make that work? But Holmes has saved the day, set a different tone, reliability. You know what you're getting with him. Dedmon's been inconsistent. And then Bjelica, I just think, serves such a good role on a night-to-night basis, and you can count on him being productive too. So those two guys have been great, along with Harrison Barnes, I think, of just kind of carrying this through two significant injuries.
Walton has a very good but difficult decision to make when this team does eventually get healthy, which with what he's going to do with his rotations, considering how well Rashawn Holmes and Nemanja Bjelica have played. But there's two other unlikely heroes, one a little more likely than the other, but we'll start with Corey Joseph, who has the near impossible task of filling in for the leader and the star of this team, De'Aaron Fox. And we know Corey Joseph's game is not scoring. De'Aaron Fox's game, for the most part, is scoring. But Corey has come in. He had that 14-assist game. With every single game, I see him get better and more comfortable playing alongside Hield, playing alongside Bjelica, Holmes, and the rest of that starting five. And you can slowly see that growing game by game, but what's been there since the very beginning has been that defensive effort. And I've seen criticisms from different people about Corey Joseph over-dribbling the ball or Corey Joseph not being able to hit a big shot. But he, in my mind, more than makes up for that with his defense, and not all of those numbers show up in a stat sheet. But look at what he did forcing the ball out of Kemba Walker's hands so Marcus Smart would take that game winner in the win against the Boston Celtics. He shut down Jamal Murray during the Denver Nuggets' chance to try and win that game in Sacramento and forced it to overtime. Corey Joseph, what he's brought to the table defensively on a nightly basis, to me, it's not a coincidence that the Kings have been a better defensive team and have won more games since he's come into the starting lineup.
Yeah, it's like I said about him before. He knows how to win, and I think he surprised me. I know what the criticism is of him maybe not hitting enough big shots, but to his credit, what's he taking, four, five again? He's not overshooting. He might be put in a spot where he gets a key possession and has to knock down a shot. But you're right about his defense. The other night when they were playing the Bulls, I remember after the opening tip, they come down to the other end. I'm like, oh, but Buddy and Levine's going to be kind of fun. I'm like, oh, Joseph's guarding Levine to start the game. Interesting. And then I think Satoransky and Buddy were on each other. And his versatility in guarding quick guards, bigger guards, smaller guards, his defense, that's been super valuable. And now you envision Fox healthy with him kind of in that, hey, you're up two possessions late. Well, he better be on the floor defensively.
Right.
There's going to be that depth that we talked about before the season. I don't know it's entirely showed up like on a night-to-night basis. It's been more, hey, you guys have had to move up because of injuries. But when they're all healthy, I think that's going to end up being the strength of the team.
Final guy, Harrison Barnes. I was thrilled when the Sacramento Kings re-signed him. I understand I don't judge players and free agent signings for Sacramento based off of a dollar sign until games actually begin, because I understand that the dollar is less valuable in Sacramento, meaning you have to pay more of them to get players here versus other markets. So the Kings throw the bag at Harrison Barnes, immediately met by criticism, mostly from people in Dallas who had watched Harrison Barnes not live up to his role there. I would argue he's been used incorrectly in Dallas for the last few years of his career, but now has come to Sacramento and he's had a handful of good games, has been shooting the ball a lot better from three-point range recently, but is just so consistently solid for this roster, and it's something that you take for granted when you have it, and then when you're missing that solid wing through. I mean, remember where the Kings were at this point last year with Justin Jackson as their consistent number three guy and not being able to stop a wing on a nightly basis. Having Harrison Barnes there consistently, doing the things that show up in the stat column and don't show up in the box score, is such a breath of fresh air for the squad, and he's been so great.
Without being able to tell what it would be this offseason without him, but if they never made the trade, you're probably right. You're looking at a Justin Jackson / maybe Shumpert, maybe even Ariza. Like, the team's better with Harrison Barnes. It's not even close. They've had trouble filling that small four position, which generally around the league is not that hard a position to fill. I think people have forgotten that. Like, he is steady. You put him in every day. He's reliable. He can take over games. He can also, at sometimes you go, well, he didn't have as big of an impact, but he has it in the locker room. He's a leader. He's a professional. I never have a problem with what the contracts are. It's not our money, but still, I don't think it was an overspend at all. I think it makes a lot of sense. He's in his prime of his career. I like that he got that overseas experience with the FIBA, and he just looks great. I think he's in great shape and can handle different things. At the end of the game the other day, he was guarding Jokic. I'm like, what? He's guarding Jokic. So his versatility is so valuable, his experience. He's super important to this team.
The Kings parted ways last season with Justin Jackson in order to make that trade, and then brought in a new Justin, a new JJ, and that's Justin James. And through the first 15 games or so, played maybe 15, 16, 17 minutes, a handful of minutes here or there, didn't get much playing time. Then on this last Eastern Conference road trip that the Kings recently returned from, he got his moments and he got his chance to play. The game that stands out, even though it was the ugliest game of the trip, was the Brooklyn game where he scored, I believe, close to 20 points, if not a little more than 20 points. He looked great. He got playing time during overtime. He actually started overtime for the Kings against the Denver Nuggets because Luke Walton trusted his defense and trusted that he knew the offense. Those are Luke Walton's words after the game. I had a chance to talk with Justin James, and he's happy to get the minutes that he's getting and is trying to work hard and is a communicator and is taking advantage of the fact that he spent all 4 years of his college career playing college basketball and came into the NBA with a more NBA-ready body. What have you seen from him that's made him such a good fit? And then kind of a brutally honest question, is he better than Trevor Ariza to get those minutes off the bench?
I don't know. What I'm waiting for him is to him to be defined, and it's not today. It doesn't have to be guys take a couple years, and maybe it's later this season. What I like the best about him is his I don't even know how else to put it, his fight, his spirit. Like, there's a couple games he's done this where it didn't look like he had any chance to dunk over someone, but he tried. Almost one of those Dwight Howards, like, I'm going to throw it in the hoop as opposed to dunk. He challenged somebody at home recently, and I went, wow. But, like, that courage, that bravado, that confidence, love that. He can get off the ground. He's a good athlete. But where's he going to fit in? Is he going to be a good ball handler? Is he a good shooter? Is he a good defender? I think he can do all those things, but, like, he needs to find his lane. Again, he's a second-round pick. He's just starting this. It doesn't need to be decided today. So I like him, though. I like, as a second-rounder, too, I think he's just been a nice addition that seems like right now he deserves minutes. I'm really torn on Ariza because, obviously, I've seen the same thing everyone else has. He has not played that well. I still think there's something there, but you can't be too stubborn and go too long where you go, I've seen your career. You're a better player than you're playing. But how long do you go on that? And I know fans have gotten way antsy. I mean, I feel it in the arena. Every time he gets an open three, it's like, ugh, when he misses. And everybody, he's had probably about a game and a half of good basketball. That's not enough. He needs to provide more. I think there's been some great practice moments. There's been some leadership things that have been valuable. But now you're talking about winning games and getting on the floor. So I think I would still lean towards playing him, but I would be a close eye on that one. And I know he's got a connection with Luke Walton, and that's a tricky one, but I think Luke Walton's not afraid of that. He has at least shown that he's bench buddy at different times. if it continues to go down the road, you can't keep playing Ariza. But I would trust that Ariza will turn this around.
We started this season with some high expectations, so I want to end this conversation with some renewed or different expectations. I'm not even going to go as far as the playoffs. Simply, by the All-Star break, where do you expect this team to be, and what is the line for you between happy and on track or overall disappointed?
Disappointed would be if we get whenever your reference point is Christmas, All-Star break, postseason time, and they're not in the conversation. They need to be in the conversation. The West last year, they were in the conversation until pretty late. I don't think they could have made 48 wins. That number was too high. By the end, I thought, what are they going to need to get? They're in the race. They're not in the race anymore. 48, that team wasn't good enough to win 48 last year. The number's not going to be 48, I don't think. The number at now looks going to be a lot lower than – I don't know at the end what it'll be. But if you're fighting for Minnesota, Phoenix, Portland, San Antonio, New Orleans, are those teams – like dramatically better? Maybe some would argue Portland. Okay, well, that's one of the spots. There's another one. I don't see Minnesota's that much better than the Kings. Phoenix, New Orleans, and the Kings have two starters coming back. My target still is postseason. I think it's very, very attainable. The West bottom part is open for them. I think they belong there, and maybe even higher, honestly, if they weren't injured. But they got to prove it. They got to do it. It still might get worse a little bit before it gets better just based on schedule. But, you know, hopefully you don't fall more than five games behind, even though they did. 0-5, they kind of reeled that in and almost caught 500 pretty quickly. So there's some important games there. You start to look at tiebreakers down the line. But I think they're in really good position. They got to keeping this identity of a defensive team, and then which is more than last year's team. Last year was unique in the pace and fun and style and excitement. I don't want to say it was a fluke in that sense, but I think there's more depth to what they've built. I think they can be that team with Fox, because I don't know why you wouldn't run when you have Fox, but they can also defend a little bit and do some half court. So I think there's more depth to this team.
And we also know that team last year, as fun as they were running and playing in transition, their half court offense was terrible, and it already looks better this year, and they didn't play a lick of defense,
right,
which is different from this year too.
So there's more substance to what they have now. And then, you know, the other element, I haven't really thought about this now, and I don't know that they have to do it, but there's a trade deadline, and could they be active? I haven't really heard anything. Doesn't mean they won't, but is there a subtle move that, hey, you're in the ninth spot or the seventh spot, you want to secure it, you're in the tenth spot, you want the push? I think it's important for this team to really be in the conversation. I think they're going to do whatever they can, not to mortgage any kind of future, but I think because the spot's attainable, one or two spots, I think you got to go for it, and I think this team has the makeup to do it.
Jay Ross, always good to have you on Locked On Kings. I know the listeners appreciate hearing you again and having you back on this podcast that you started. I always have to thank you for passing the torch to me and letting me take this over. You did such a great job with it before I took over, and I look forward to having you back on hopefully at some point in the near future.
Absolutely. Would love to do it. Thank you.
I always love talking to Jason Ross. It's a pleasure to have him back here with me on the Locked On Kings podcast. I know many of you listeners started listening to this podcast when he was the host many, many years ago. I thank you for sticking around, and I thank you for always being open to having him back on. If you want to respond again to anything we talked about in today's podcast, reach out to me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also find Jason on Twitter at JasonRoss1140. Feel free to email me as well, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Before we wrap up, if you could do me a favor, if you haven't already, leave a rating and a review of this podcast. Best place to do that is on either Apple Podcasts or the iTunes Store. But wherever you listen to this podcast, if there's a place to leave a review, please do that. It helps us out a ton. It's also a good way to get your questions to me as well. I know a lot of other Locked On podcast hosts solicit questions through that review. So leave a review out of 5 stars. Hopefully it is 5 stars. And ask a question right there. I will see it and try and answer it and bring it here to an episode of Locked On Kings in the future. Until tomorrow, we'll be back to recap this Kings and Blazers game. Look forward to doing that with you. My name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.